Welcome to Manifest, hosted by international evangelist, teacher, and author Perry Stone. Enjoy unique insight into prophetic and practical truth. It's time to feast on fresh manna, so get ready to be blessed and encouraged. And now, here is your host and teacher, Perry Stone.
It's a beautiful day here in Israel, and we're headed toward Jerusalem. And I would say, how many of you have never been here before? Raise your hand. You got to be kidding. What? That's 90%? Coming with me was a pleasure. No, I'm sorry I had to goof off with you. We had so much fun. Bethshan is a city that existed in the Roman time. It was one of the 10 cities of the Decapolis. It's been excavated. Fabulous place to come to on your trip. Be sure your guide takes you here. I have to give credit to whom credit is due. I sometimes will glean a title or a thought from a minister. And I was watching a minister preach, and he gave this title, and I was so intrigued by it. And then what happens is when a preacher gives you a title or an inspiration, you have to run it through your own meat grinder. So I ran this one through my own meat grinder, and I came up with this teaching that I want to share with you. And it's John chapter 11, 14 through 15. Let's look at this together on the screen. It says this. This is when Jesus was meeting Mary and Martha. Lazarus was dead. And he says something strange. Jesus says something strange. Maybe you've never caught this before. Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad." Yeah. "And I'm glad, for your sakes, that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." So he's going to the grave. He's with his disciples. Of course, he meets Mary and Martha. They're upset at him. So the subject is, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. So we're gonna find out what was Jesus talking about. When this is his dear friend, he has admitted it's his friend, he's allowed him to die, and there's a really cool lesson I'm going to give you, and then we're going to break this down into a practical level, because Manifest is not just about prophecy, it's not just about studying the Hebrew roots of Christianity, it's not just about Israel and prophecy and that kind of thing, it's about some practical things that we need to learn. Okay, first of all, sometimes all you need to hear is one word from God that quickens to your spirit to move you into the situation that's going to bring something to you in the form of an answer to prayer. The Bible talks about the Word of God, and when it talks about the Word of God, it uses two Greek words. It uses the word logos and the word rhema. And the word rhema is a word that is a quickened word for a specific situation for a specific time. And I'm going to give an example of a quickened word, and this is all going to tie in later. Hopefully, we can put all this together later to help you understand what I'm saying. A quickened word is when you're reading a scripture and it jumps out at you and it gets in your spirit, not your head. A quickened word is when a preacher is preaching on faith and all of a sudden you feel something stirring in your innermost being that you can receive something from God. I can really get this. It can really happen. It says in the Bible that Jesus or Paul would be preaching and they would suddenly perceive in the middle of their message that someone had the faith to be healed. What was happening to the person, not to Paul or Jesus, they had the gift of discerning of spirits or word of knowledge, which is a gift of the spirit to know something. But what they're perceiving about the person is this person has the faith at this moment, and the person themselves heard something that made it come alive. So here's what a rhema word is. A rhema word is when the word comes alive to you. Now, I want to say something, and I've got to be very careful saying this. But there are many churches in America that deny the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul warned you in the last days that there would be people in churches that would have a form of godliness, a form of religion, but deny the power. And you know what he said to do? From such turn away. That word power that Paul's used for the power, denying the power, is the Greek word thunamis, which is the word in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit comes on you. So basically, Paul is saying that there will come a time when people will deny the authority and power that's in the Holy Spirit. And so here's my point. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit of God that quickens the Bible to you. It's the Spirit of God that makes the Bible come alive when you're hearing it preached. So if you go somewhere, now track with me here. If you go somewhere that they do not allow in your congregation worship, they do not allow the free expression of praise and worship, or the preacher does not allow the anointing of the Holy Spirit to quicken him, what will happen is you will never get a rhema. You will get a good Bible story. You will get a good 3-point outline on how to live. But when you need a miracle, when you need a healing, when you need God to do something that's supernatural, it takes the Holy Spirit to help you get it done. And so it's important that you, try to find a place that believes in God's Spirit moving. And it doesn't matter. Look, there's Spirit-filled Methodist, Baptist, there's Spirit-filled Catholic churches, there's Spirit-filled Pentecostal, Charismatic, and I don't want to name them all, but there are places out there that will allow the Spirit of God to touch you. You got to have that. Well, here's the story, and I want to talk to you about this for a moment. Jesus says to these people, to these individuals, Lazarus is dead, and he says, I'm glad for your sake. And I'm thinking to myself, this doesn't make any sense. Can you imagine going to a funeral and saying, well, Dad died, but I'm glad. Yeah. Well, that must mean you're getting something in the will, apparently, if you're glad. I can't imagine that. But see, it's easy to read this and kind of misunderstand what's happening here. And that's what I'm going to explain in about 5 minutes, what's really going on here. But one of the things that happens in Jesus' ministry, it has happened in mine, is that people misunderstand what you're saying. Or they misquote what you're saying, or they misinterpret what you're saying. Let me give an example of this. Jesus on one occasion said, if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll build it back up again. And they thought he was talking about the temple in Jerusalem that took over 40 some years to build. He was talking about his physical body, which Paul said is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Here's another example. Jesus is in a synagogue and he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of you. And the whole congregation gets up and walks out on him on the Sabbath day. And his disciples are sitting there on the front row looking at him. The whole crowd's gone. He said, are you leaving me too? They said, no, because we know you have the words of life. He was not talking about being a cannibal, because Jewish people do not eat any kind of meat that has blood in it. And that's not kosher. You have to get the blood out. I'm not getting into that, kosher food. But Jesus was saying, you have to have fellowship with me. Now, when you have communion, which is the bread and the fruit of the vine, you have communion. Catholics will call it the Eucharist. Protestants call it communion. When you have that, you are doing what Jesus said to do. We're remembering his death till he comes. They didn't understand what he was saying. I could go through this and talk about, he goes to this well up here in Samaria, which is in this direction. There's a woman at the well. And he said, boy, if you knew the kind of water I had to give, you'd be asking me for water. Well, he's just trying to arouse her curiosity to get a conversation going, because he's a Jew, she's a Samaritan. Jews don't go through Samaritans. Jews didn't even like Samaritans. And so she says, well, where's your bucket? See, she doesn't understand the well he's talking about till he explains it to her. And another example is, Jesus made statements like it's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the heaven. And we won't get into all the metaphors that he used for that. But my point is, it's very easy to read the Bible and to not understand what the scripture is actually saying or meaning. And religious people are the world's worst at this, because I can teach something on manifest, and here's what people will do. They'll hear something they didn't like and they'll cut it off right there and write us an email rebuking us. And if they'd have listened 2 more minutes, I would have explained what they were asking me. But they cut it off. They shut your ears off. They shut their ears off. They shut it off before they hear the entire answer. And so it's very important to understand what I call the communication of Jesus, or the communication of the Bible, because communication is the real key. 7% of what you say, listen to this now, 7% of what you say is transferred by words. 35% is transferred by the tone that you say it in. And 59% is transferred by facial expression. Now, you folks on the tour need to know this, because if I'm coming to breakfast, I may have a sermon on my mind, and I hear you say, hello, Brother Stone, good morning, and you walk 5 feet away, and then I just, oh, okay, somebody just said good morning to me. I'm not being crude or rude, I just have a lot on my mind. But let's say if somebody comes to you and they are talking to you, and they're sitting forward looking at you, what does that mean to you? They're paying attention. If someone is talking to you and they're all slumped over like this looking around, what does that say to you? They're bored. If they cross their arms and they just got their head leaned back kind of staring, what does that mean? They're uninterested. So in other words, the body language and the tone of voice of which something is said has to do with how it's received. I know that God has given me sometimes, I'm going to get off track here. God has given me messages to preach sometimes, and I'm saying, Lord, that's a little harsh, and I really don't know if people are going to receive this or not. I just don't know. And the Lord said to me, he said, always say it in love and in the right tone. Because I've had to say things before that were really tough, but I would almost say it using it in a certain manner with a certain tone and found out it was received. But if you look at somebody and just point and you're just mean-spirited, it's never going to be received. You know, you will attract more people with honey than with pickle juice. And I have met a few people in my life that look like they got baptized in lemon juice because they still weren't smiling when the service was over. Now, let's go back to this and let's look at this saying because I want to talk to you. Well, you know what? I got something funny to share here. Let me talk to you for a moment. Let me keep going on the subject of communication, and I'll get to that. I'll get to what I'm getting to here in a second. Communication. I wrote this down, and I want to go ahead and say this because I think this is really funny. Okay, I'm going to do this, and I want you to tell me what it means. Ready? Just first thing that comes to your mind. Peace. No, that's two hot dogs. No, that's I need two seats at the game. Oh, no, that's victory at a football game. If you turn that around the other way, it's a real bad sign in Britain, so don't ever do that. You got to be careful. And so the point is communication, and I'm going to key up on this in a moment. That's why I'm saying this. In the area of communication, I heard a preacher say this one time that a woman went to a lawyer seeking a divorce, and he says, well, do you have grounds? And she said, oh, I've got about 2 acres. He said, well, do you have a grudge? She says, no, I've got a carport, but it's not a garage. Then he looked at her and said, "What does he beat you up? She says, no, I always get up before he does. And he said, well, what's your problem? She says, we just have a problem with communication. So here's my point. When you read the scripture and hear it preached, sometimes you'll read it a certain way and a minister will preach it another way. But please understand that you have to have open ears for the Holy Spirit to communicate with you what is being said. Here's my point. Mary and Martha totally got messed up with Jesus because they sent word for him that Lazarus was sick. And they wanted Jesus to come and heal him of the sickness. They knew he could do it. They knew he would do it. He'd stayed in their home. He'd eaten dinner with them before. But instead of him coming, he waits and gets there 4 days after the man's dead. Now, they came to him and they said they really had a problem with this because they wanted to know, what is the deal here? Because we called you early and you could have got here before he died and you waited till he died. And then Jesus makes a statement that I know is messing them all up. Lazarus is dead and I'm glad for your sake I wasn't here. Now, how do you do this when these are two of your closest friends, you've eaten in their home, they're sisters to you, he's a brother to you, you've let him die. And I mean, they are totally upset because watch, they think somehow Jesus did not get the communication properly or that Jesus ignored the communication when the fact was, listen, it had nothing to do with the communication. It had to do with a plan. You with me? Because see, now we're talking about how people get the community. So said they are all messed up. Communication. Your disciples didn't say it. You didn't come in time. Who failed? He said, look, girls, nobody failed. Now here's, I feel something. Woo! Here's what Jesus is saying to these women. Now, I wrote this down because I want you to hear this. He's basically saying, there is a reason that I have waited till the fourth day to show up. And he said, what you need to know is this. If I would have come when you asked me to come, you would have known me in the way you've always known me, a healer. You've known me as a healer. You called me because you know I'm a healer. And you knew if I showed up, I'd heal him. He said, but I let something happen negative because I want you to see something about me that you don't know yet. So here's what he's saying. All you've ever heard me talk about at this table is knowing me as a healer. All we've ever talked about is healing. All you've ever seen me do is heal. But you've never seen me raise somebody from the dead after 4 days. So I want you to see me in a way that you've never seen me. So let's get to the graveyard. Now, what's funny about this graveyard scene is everything that could be wrong is wrong. All right, here we go. Number one, his body is rotting in the tomb. Number two, by now the body is stinking. Number three, there's a big stone covering up. Number four, his body's wrapped up. And number five, which is the big one. Ready for this one? Now, I believe when the soul and spirit leaves the body at death, and death has been finalized, that it either is carried by, it either goes into hell, this is all in Luke 16, or now it's carried by two angels, if it's a righteous person's spirit, carried by two angels into paradise in the third heaven. And so once the person is there, and once they're out of the body for good, then the body does not linger on earth. There was a Jewish teaching in Jesus' day, and it was a rabbinical teaching, not a biblical, but rabbinical tradition, that once a person died, that they lingered around the place of death or the family for 3 days. Now, you know what? I wouldn't like that, because the soul and spirit of a human body can hear what people are saying. And if they're grieving, how do you think that person feels seeing you grieve? Or how will that person feel seeing you fuss about what they had and who's getting what? Come on, I'm preaching. You know it's the truth. You know it's the truth. Mom and dad dies and here come the kids that never showed up wanting everything. Well, who am I talking to now? Ooh. Now, here's the thing. They believe that on the fourth day, right at that day, at the end of 3 days, the spirit went to its eternal place and could never come back. So Jesus doesn't come on the third day, because they'd say, oh, it was just luck. Yeah, his Lazarus spirit was hanging in the tomb. No big deal. But when he showed up on the fourth day, every Pharisee, Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. Every Pharisee, every rabbi, every high priest, every priest in the temple knew he showed up and did what? Fourth day, brother. Now here's what it does to these religious people. It messes up their theology. Because they've been teaching people for years, at the end of 3 days, there is no resurrection. Can you hear them? No resurrection can take place at the end of 3 days. This Jesus, if he raises the dead, he simply revives a person. He's reviving the spirit, which is near the body. I'm just doing that because I want to. And so he's totally now wrecked their theology. Watch this. He has totally proven that he's got to be God's son, because only God's son could raise somebody at 4 days. So here's the part that I want to get to, and I'm going to get practical with you here in a minute. Okay, here's the part I want to get to. So Jesus says to them, he's dead, but I'm glad, because you've never seen me do the greatest miracle that a human being's ever done. I'm God in flesh, yes, but I'm about to do a miracle that no one has ever seen in the history of the world. Amen. Jonah was dead 3 days. As Jonah was three in the bed. Now, you say he was dead? Yeah. Well, don't get me on that. Ask for my book. I talk about Jonah, who went to the bowels of the earth, came back after. It's all in the book of Jonah. You can read it in the Hebrew text and all that kind of stuff. See, I got sidetracked and I'm messing myself up right here on another subject. But no one had ever taken on the fourth day to raise a person, because it was supposed to be impossible according to rabbinical Judaism, and it should have never happened. So by the resurrection of a man on the fourth day, it actually was the greatest miracle in his entire ministry, and many believed on him as Lazarus came back into that body. Jesus wanted to show them, his friends, something they had never seen about him. Now, I want you to track with me as I get ready to share something with you. Jesus wanted to make it an impossible situation, because they wanted them to absolutely know, with man in your life, with man there's going to be some things that's impossible, but with God nothing is impossible. That's what he wants you to know. Now, when Jesus starts dealing with crisis, and this was a crisis to Mary and Martha, you've prayed and nothing has happened. You've asked God to heal you and nothing has happened. You've asked God to give you a financial breakthrough and nothing has happened. David said 18 times, "How long, O Lord?" Then 53 times people in the Bible said, "How long, O Lord?" So in other words, the reason people are asking God how long is because they've prayed something and it's not happened yet. Now, for those of you standing here, those of you watching right now, that need to know something. Some of you know Jesus as Savior. He has saved you. But you don't know him as Lord, because you're not really wanting to follow him close. Savior is fire insurance. Lord means you're his and he is yours. And you do what he says. Some of you have never known him as healer because your church or denomination doesn't teach that. But you need to go to the Bible and study him as a healer. You might need that one day. You need to understand that he's a deliverer, that you can be saved. Look, people can be saved and still be bound. This is a fact. Even the Bible will tell you. But you need to know the truth to the point that the truth will make you free. So you need to study the Bible on the freedom scriptures of what Jesus can do to set you free from addictions or things of that nature. And then you have to understand that there are many people that have never heard or they don't understand Jesus as a baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is a baptizer in the Holy Spirit. But if you don't study that, you don't read about it, you'll never know. And sometimes God will bring people into your life or he'll share with you. I got stuck at an airport one time. I was flying somewhere and had a layover. And a guy walked up to me and he said, "You wrote a book on the code of the Holy Spirit." I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm going to talk to you about that." And he tried to argue with me. And after 30 minutes, he left saying, "Well, I'm going to have to look into that more." Because, you know why? Because he didn't know the word. He was never trained that way or understood it. You need to understand that God takes care of your finances. Now listen to this. "I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither had entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit." Sometimes there's a time delay in what God is doing because he wants to do it a different way. Sometimes he delays to make it a little harder so you'll know he's the God of the impossible. So when things are not going your way, just keep holding on to God, because He might seem to you he's 4 days late, but as my friend Karen Peck sings, he's always on time. Yeah. Always on time. Thank you for this opportunity of sharing with you. Our group is in Israel, headed to the city of Jerusalem. And as always, we offer something on the Manifest telecast. And I want you to get this, because the only way we can pay for $7 million worth of airtime is your resource material that you purchase. So help us stay on the air in your area. Be back in just a moment. It's hot here, but it's better than the option of being somewhere else. Amen. Any day of the week, any day of the week. I want you to see and hear my most requested and my favorite teaching of all time, the Rapture Revelation. You can glean from 1,400 hours of detailed research on the subject of the rapture. This 5 DVD, that's 10 hours of teaching, unlocks this mystery, digging deep into both testaments using Hebrew and Greek word studies, mysterious prophetic patterns, ancient Jewish customs, rabbinical insight, and early church writings to present a detailed explanation of the coming of the Lord for the church. The first DVD is titled The Rapture, A Revelation Revealed to the Apostle Paul. You will discover how this was revealed to Paul on Mount Sinai in Arabia. You will learn 8 different activities to occur at the rapture, and I will explain 8 different Greek words used in the New Testament that detail Christ's return. The second DVD is The Prophetic Timing of the Rapture. I will give you 8 examples of the righteous escaping wrath and 4 clues pointing to a pre-tribulation return of Christ. Learn how in the book of Revelation, the 24 elders, the 7 sealed book, and other imagery reveals a pre-tribulation return. I will also answer numerous controversial questions about the timing of Christ's return. The third DVD covers the subject of the rapture, Israel's feast and harvest cycles. You will discover how Israel's 7 festivals conceal amazing prophetic information about the rapture, the mystery of the shofar, how Israel's yearly harvest cycles encode the pattern of the catching away. Discover 9 events that you will experience the moment Christ returns. Also, DVD number 4 is so exciting, The Rapture and the Mysterious Book of Remembrance. I will show you from Malachi 3, a key to going in the rapture is your name being in the Book of Remembrance. You will see how being an overcomer is different from a non-overcomer as it relates to the return of Christ for the church. You will see how the Feast of Trumpets is linked with the Book of Remembrance and how the rapture is designed as a special blessing to the believer. Now, not only that, but I've included a 5th DVD, The Reenactment of the Jewish Wedding, with 100 cast members using props and costumes, showing you not only the ancient Jewish wedding, but highlighting 14 keys of how the Jewish wedding points to a pre-tribulation return of Christ. These 5 DVDs in this beautiful album are for a donation of just $65 or more. Order by calling 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323. And ask for offer RA-137. Or order online at perrystone.org. You may also order by mail by writing me at Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Again, that offer request is RA-137. You will learn a lot, so don't delay. Get your DVDs now. Perry Stone here. Hey, listen, don't forget to get this offer. 10 hours of teaching, 5 DVDs that are about 2 hours each. Detailed information, detailed revelation. I think it's probably the most exhaustive study on proving that the rapture is a true doctrine than anything that you may hear. And I'm excited to present this to you. I believe it's going to be a great, great help to you as well. I just want to make one comment while I have the time, and that is concerning world prayer. Every Thursday night at the International School of the Word headquarters building, we have a beautiful prayer set that we have what we call world prayer. You can actually log on at 6 o'clock every Thursday night, East Coast time. And our global prayer meeting is seen around the world. People actually set their alarm clocks and get up in certain parts of the world outside of the United States not to miss prayer time. It's an hour of prayer. We have different people that are leading it. And I am so excited about this. And years ago, I built a prayer altar. I was a teenager, 12 stones. A guy, and I believe his name was, Dave Parker. We built a prayer altar on the back of a mountain. It's where I would go to pray. It's where I got the name Voice of Evangelism from, was at that prayer altar, seeking the Lord up in the mountains. And we never knew what happened to that altar. I went looking for it, could not find it, and I was in the wrong location. So 42 years later, that prayer altar was returned to us. It is now in the World Prayer Center, the Global Prayer Center at ISO in the main hall. And when I go to pray, that's where I pray. I lean up against that big rock, put my back there and pray. And a while back, I needed a prayer meeting desperately. So I went over there by myself. And, for God to return that altar to me after 42 years was, to me, it was supernatural for them to be able to find it. There had been roads put in and roads cut up on the mountains, and there had been so many changes. But a gentleman from a campground said, I'm going to find that altar, and he did and brought it to me. Folks, can I just say something to you? We can talk about praying, or we can pray. We can talk about changing things, or we can change things. We can talk about standing up, or we can stand up. So many times I think righteous people, and that is people in right standing with God who have a covenant with Jesus Christ, are very passive, and they let people just trample them and run over them in the excuse of being humble. But there comes a time, Paul said, you didn't beat me in private, and I'm not leaving privately. They wanted to stick him out of a back door. He said, no, I'm going public. I'm going to preach public. So we have to be bold in these last days to do the right thing and hear from God. I also want to invite you to go to perrystone.org for our internet site, and you can order a lot of new material that you'll never see on Manifest from there, our store. Also, Perry Stone Ministries, you have to put ministries in their Facebook page. There's only one. We have about 390,000 people or so. No, it's 450,000. And also our Perry Stone YouTube channel for updates. God bless you.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2020 Israel tour. The dates are November 23rd through December 2nd with an optional visit to Petra in the country of Jordan. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.
Expand your understanding of Scripture. Advance your effectiveness in ministry. Earn certification for your knowledge of the Bible. International School of the Word. Developed by Perry Stone and Dr. Brian Cutshall, ISO.org is the premier online Bible school with dozens of courses, hundreds of lessons, and thousands of students all over the world. Sign up for one of our exciting, affordable Bible courses and begin your journey at ISO.org today.